Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday as we head and stare down the last few days of Christmas. And what a season it has been. I tell you what, it's with the Christmas season being in Iowa and we are having anywhere from in the 40s and the 50 degree weather, it's a little bit more tougher to get that holiday spirit, Santa Claus thinking, but anyway, we still appreciate the season, but even more so, what's most important is understanding the reason for the season is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe today you are traveling down the highway. You've turned on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Thank you for listening and being a part of your Sunday drive time with us today. We have a great teaching series that's coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. We're in the midst of Advent. We've been talking about the different people in Advent that played a major role. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but thank you for listening. Be safe out there, and also, too, in our great state, be watching out for deer. We are in the midst of deer season. I believe second season is closing down, and they are on the move, and they are running literally for their lives for those crazy hunters out there that are just going at it. But anyway, we do need that population thinned down, without a doubt, because it is overrun, and there has been some sickness in that with the deer population this year, just the fact of so many deer, and they do a lot of damage. But I tell you what, they are one beautiful animal of God's creation. We are so blessed to have so many white tailed deer in our state that are corn-fed and about as good of eating of deer, if you like deer, as it gets. And also, too, thank you for, too, as you're traveling this morning on your way to church, you have turned on and listening to us today. Thank you so much for being a part of your Sunday morning as you head for church, the time of which you worship, the time of which you get to join together as ecclesia, as the family of God, and enjoying what the Lord has done through worship and also fellowship with each other, and most of all, a gifted teaching, a spirit-filled teaching is my prayer as you go to church today. And thank you for being a part of our Sunday. And also to those of you that are out there, you know, I've always said different ones I check on, I always think about, and one of them in particular is one lady that's just really close to my heart. I just think the world of her, she's just so nice. There's so many women out there that ladies that have had their husbands pass, but I can't help but think, just got to give a big shout out to Miss Diane. And if you're listening, Diane, I miss you. I've been trying to get in touch, but I hope you're listening and hope all things are well. But with that being said, we're going to jump into our teaching series this morning. But just a few things before we get started. Always remember that we send out the Vital Men and Vital Life devotionals each and every day. And you can go to our Vital Ministers website, check that out, and find that information and get that nugget sent to you each day. And some incredible things that are written. My wife does for Vital Life, and she does a beautiful job. And we are so blessed with her teaching and also to her inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Also, too, don't forget, right, men, this is important. Our next Warrior Breakfast is January 6th, man, 2024, yes, 23 is about to close up and we're headed for 24. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks a little bit, but man, I think we're on for one crazy ride as we join into 2024, but we'll talk a little bit more in the weeks ahead. But with that being said, our next Warrior Breakfast is January 6th at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon, Iowa from 8 to 9 o'clock. We always have a great breakfast. Meat is always on the menu, and we'll have a great teaching as we go and look into the new year. We're going to be talking about that. What's 2024 look for as men? How do we step into 2024 and seize the day, seize the moment, especially with the times of the craziness in which we live and just the things that are going on? So we just want to make sure that we're paying attention to that. January 6th from 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning, Lighthouse Church in New Sharon, Iowa. And you don't want to miss that, man. What a great time and what a great opportunity to bring somebody who wouldn't maybe go to church but might go with you to the Warrior Breakfast. And we just have a great time with that being said. But this, you know, this past few weeks, we've been talking about Advent, a season in which the first coming of Jesus Christ. And it's always remarkable to me as I look back and reflect. And I think it's important for us to do because obviously we're looking for the second Advent, which is Christ's second return as he comes back to the earth. But the important part of this is to remember. And I think it's significant to go back and to remember of what was and also too and how it applies today. And also too, I think the Israelite nation always had times of reflection, time of going back and telling the stories of the day of the great prophets, the great Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets and Moses and Elijah and Elisha and all those great men in the Bible that had just significant things and impact in people's lives. And it's important for us too, as we look in the New Testament too, that the same thing is important for us as well. As we look into the life of Christ, the time of his beginning, the virgin birth, the time in which God the Father, Yahweh, sends his only begotten Son to earth to come into the midst of our chaos, our brokenness, and the things that go on with all humanity. He sends his Son, and most of all, the most lowly of places of the King of Kings could have ever been. And we're going to look at that this morning. You know, the first week we talked about Elizabeth and Mary and their pregnancy of being literally 3 months apart in pregnancy. Obviously, Elizabeth had the prophet John the Baptist. Jesus said in his own words, one of the greatest of all prophets was his cousin John the Baptist, and just a great man of God he was. And he was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, which was his cousin Jesus. And also too with Mary with Jesus and the virgin birth. And also too, last week we talked about Joseph, about him, of the part that he played. I always say he's the quietest part of all, because we have no recorded words of Joseph. Anything that just what the Lord comes to him in dreams and he acts upon him. He's a man of obedience. And that's just essential for us today as we look at that, how that applies even more so today, of being people of obedience. When God calls, you move. And we're going to see that this morning with our teaching called When God Calls, a Shepherd's Faith. Now, the shepherds, in this portion of what we're going to go into this morning, I'm going to study a little bit, go into detail about the shepherds and what's going on. But let's open up our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, and begin the Christmas story for us this morning. This says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and earth peace to those whom his favor rest. See, that night the shepherds were simply doing what shepherds do, living among their sheep. That's what they did back then, watching out for those in the care. If you ever watch being a part and watching sheep at all, you without a doubt realize that the sheep need a lot of critical care. You know, we've been looking at it in our farm. We have Highland cattle and we also have Angus cattle. And we've been kicking around the idea about adding a sheep. I got a friend of mine who calls us the funny farm. But I tell you what, we are enjoying it. We are having a great time of helping and taking care of the animals, a part of God's creation. And along the way, we're learning a lot of things about them. And also too, you kind of see things about yourself as you go and you take care, because is just essential and part of your life. You know, one thing I find interesting about sheep is when they go out into a pasture or they go, 9 times out of 10, you will always see one sheep leading the rest of the herd. There's always that one that points the way. And a lot of times when you go out and you watch that, you can also see the shepherd, the person who is the caretaker of the sheep. When he comes, the sheep know his name and they listen and they hear his voice and they respond accordingly. But the things that I like about what we're going to learn this morning about the shepherds is that these men were the ones that really were doers. They were men that were dirty. They were part of the sacrificial lamb that were taken into the temple. And that's what it's important for them. And again, I love the part where it says the angel of the Lord appeared with him with an announcement. He says, let me repeat that. The angel of the Lord appeared for heaven's sake. Man, can you imagine for a moment the news that the angels were bringing, and must have been unbelievable to the shepherds. It's amazing to me, out of all of God's people, who does the announcement come to first? The shepherds. But let's continue the story in Luke chapter 2, 15 through 20. It says this, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, was this a sign? I, without a doubt, believe so. This is the sign. The angel says, you will find the baby. The baby will be in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, a linen cloth. And if you notice, they are told to immediately, they're not told to go anywhere of what the angels are saying. They don't say this is all. They were told that simply that where they would find the child, where he would be. And the angels host, they sang and they hear. Now, I assume that they could have waited until daybreak until they had next planned the journey to go to town. Without a doubt, they could have done that. Yet, the shepherds, they can't wait. Man, fear or nor fear, from what they had just seen with the angels, they take off and go to the city, to the town of Bethlehem, and to go and find exactly what the angels had told them. Now, when I think about this, what would their reaction have been when they had found the baby? What would their eyes had seen? What would be in their mindset as they saw the newborn baby, their Savior, the creator of creation itself, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? And I find it so interesting that of what they did. It says in Luke chapter 2, 15 through 16, again, just to remind us, it says, when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, when the angels and they had left, they had stopped and they went and looked for the baby. They were excited. They were pumped. They couldn't wait to see him. Which brings us this morning to point number one. When God calls, listen up. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all people." Now, I want you to think about this. A lot of times, when we were younger, and I even say this even today, we have what we call selective hearing. Man, a lot of times we would not listen to what was being said by our parents. Would we go out and do your responsibilities, take out the trash, mow the yard, do the different things that would happen? But I tell you what, those things you would say, well, I don't remember you saying that. Well, actually we did. We just basically had selective hearing. I tell you what, my dad always had responses to the selective hearing, and it always wasn't good. But I tell you what I did hear is what I didn't miss is when it was time to eat, when it was time to go somewhere, something that I wanted to do, without a doubt, my hearing was keen and I was listening. See, we see examples throughout the New Testament of the ones who listened and heard and understood and responded to Jesus. Now, here's another example of someone who listened up, someone who decided that he was going to listen to what the Lord and the Savior had said. Now, let's fast forward just a little bit when Jesus is calling his disciples, and we want to look at one especially this morning who moved, who listened. When God called, he moved immediately. And this comes out of Matthew chapter 9:9. It says this, "As Jesus went out from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Jesus says, 'Follow me.' And Matthew immediately got up and followed him." See, Matthew was looked down upon his people. He was a tax collector. He was actually gaining taxes for the Romans, and also to pocketing some of those taxes. That's how he got paid. The most tax collectors were rich. I find that interesting today is we don't have necessarily tax collectors. We actually have what I call tax people who do tax preparation, or CPAs and all that. And they do all that kind of work and the preparation about everything that goes on. But back in the day, tax collectors were actually people who were looked down upon because they were not serving the people. They were serving the powers to be at the time. But when Jesus had called Matthew and he said, "Let's go, let's come, follow me," and immediately he hears and he makes a move. He doesn't hesitate. He gets up. And the other one that I want to think about this is this, with Jesus when he calls us. And we'll get back to the example for going back to the stable, back to the shepherds. And this is what's interesting. It says this. He says, I want you to think about this for a second. When the shepherds went in, they went in to follow the one born in the stable. Matthew, the disciple, not only heard the voice of Jesus, but he listened to the voice of Jesus. Now, I want to say that again. Matthew, the tax collector, not only heard the voice of Jesus, but he listened to the voice of Jesus. See, in John chapter 10, verse 27, it says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Now, I want you to think about this today during the Christmas season. Whatever situation today that you might be in, whatever challenges that you face, let me ask you to do this. Are you listening to the voice of God? Not simply to hear, but also to respond and follow as he leads. See, that's all the part of when we listen up, when we move immediately, when God calls us to do something, we listen up and immediately we move. We don't hesitate. We make those choices and step into what God is calling us to do. And I think that's important for us today. Are you listening up? Are you hearing God's voice? And some say, "Mike, I'm not sure I ever heard God's voice before." And I realize that, but the more that you get in and reading the Bible itself and letting the words, and all of a sudden you find out they jump off the page, and all of a sudden you feel like these verses, these words that are written in the Bible that are actually speaking directly to you. You can just see, and you become sometimes actually part of the story, listening to what God says. But this, let's keep moving this morning, which brings me to point number two, is when God calls, saddle up. Now, I like that because I'm all about horses and I'm all about the cowboy entourage. But man, when you might be thinking to me, are you talking about some Western movie that's going along or something this morning? Or are we talking about the Advent series? And without a doubt, we're talking about that. Or something just going through life. But I think this. So when I think about saddling up, it's go time. And that's exactly what the shepherds did as they followed when they heard the angels of that choir singing. Those men moved. They didn't hesitate. When it was all said and done, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. Man, I love that. They immediately move. They don't wait to daybreak. They don't wait until the sun starts coming up. They make a decision. They had just had an encounter of angels, not only one, but a host. I don't know about you. I've gotten a glimpse before of an angel, but I have never seen angels. Now, my wife, she tells me the story about her father, where her dad has actually seen angels. Actually, two times especially, one for protection with as they were driving with his mother, and the other time was when somebody had passed away. He actually saw what his grandmother, that two men came and got her and took her away. He saw why children can see sometimes these things and we as grown-ups can't. I don't have an answer to that. But without a doubt, we know it's true. And we also know that people, adults, can do the same because we just read that. See, at first glance, so we might assume that these faithful shepherds hurried off at a direction of the angels. But let's look again at further instructions. They said this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in the manger. Nowhere were they told to go now or tonight or to hurry. They took it upon themselves to go unwillingly to wait for daybreak or breakfast. An angel told them what they would find, and the spirit of the old-time saddle-up Westerns, I think, said, "Saddle up, let's go," and that's what they did. They got moving. They got traveling. They took it by their feet, and they were running to Bethlehem. They could not wait and see this newborn child, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Great I Am. They did not want to miss the moment. But see, there's another story about saddle up, time to be on the move. And I want to take us to Acts chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, and also a portion of verse 17. It says this, "In Damascus, there was this disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying.' And then Ananias went to the house and entered it." Now, Here's something that's really important. When we look at the life of Saul, Saul was actually against the church at this point of his life. And God had, he had this Damascus time where the Lord struck him and he lost sight and he was waiting. And God called Ananias to go and to pray over Saul, who would become Paul, who would become one of the greatest disciples in New Testament and also too in religious settings of all times. He was a man that was set on fire, a man that was distinction, a man that had had without a doubt a reason to move and a call upon his life. But it took a simple man by the name of Ananias to go and for fear of his own life and go and do something. He immediately, I love it, he gets up and he starts doing it. He moves on. He goes and he finds Saul. And he goes and shares with him and prays over him. And Ananias does what the obedient part and saddling up and doing what was he was called to. And so if you go to Acts chapter 9:15, it says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, go." Now, we see earlier, despite Ananias' reservations, he did go, and the ministry of Saul, who became Paul, was set in motion, a ministry that would be changed the world. See, Paul was a world changer. He was a man who was set on fire by Jesus himself, but what it took was the spark of Ananias. And a lot of times we always want to be the Pauls. We always want to be those in the highlight. But sometimes a lot of us and most of us are the Ananias. We are the ones that are quiet. We're the ones that are hidden in the scene of the story. And God uses some profound people all because of the obedience of saddling up and going to doing what God calls you. Now, maybe God is calling you to do something today. Do something to be a part of being in someone's life. Maybe somebody even come to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. You're the one who's called. I love this couple. Goes to our church, Jerry and Janet. Man, they are just great people, and they are obedient. They love God. Janet, she is diligent in helping us in our children's program. Jerry is a servant-hearted man. He's always there asking you, "Can I get you a coffee?" He's always a man of serving. Now, what was interesting last week, it was just so cool. He has a family that lives next door to them, and they've been praying about them, trying to invite them to church. And they finally get their kids coming to kids' church and whatnot, and the mother comes to our church. But what I love about this is Jerry and Janet are doing the go time. They are saddling up. They are being diligent. They are going and doing the small things, the hidden things, the things that people don't see, but possibly could change the trajectory of a family, all because of obedience. Which brings me to point number three, when God calls, speak up. See, in verse Luke chapter 2, 17 through 18, it says this, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that he had been told to them about the child, and all that who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said." See, these faithful shepherds didn't simply hurry to see the thing that had happened. Having seen, they were compelled to what? Speak up. To tell the story of baby Jesus. A story seemingly unbelievable, yet to those who heard it, it says in the Bible, were amazed. They were amazed at what they had heard. And this is so important for us today, is to see what God is doing, that God is on the move. He is doing some incredible things, that the Messiah that they would see, the baby in a manger. Now, this is important. I want you to think about this for a second, the manger. In the manger, a manger was only provided for the sheep that were without blemish. The other baby lambs who had blemishes on them would not be placed in a manger and given extra care. Only the sacrificial lamb. Now, don't you find it interesting that God does the same thing with the Son? Sends him to the stable. Now, you got to wrap your mind around this for a second, folks. I'm gonna push you to go a little bit deeper in your thought process of this scene that we're talking about this morning. I want you to think about this as Joseph. Joseph is there. He's helped Mary have the baby. And now they have taken the child, the Messiah, and they've now placed him in the stable, in the manger. Now, God sends his Son to a humble beginning. Could have been put into a throne room. Could have been put into a great temple in order to be born. But no. What does God do? God places him in the lowliest of lowliest places because he has come as the humble king. He has come as the sacrifice for all of mankind for our sins. He is the sacrificial lamb born as a baby who would later, at 33 years later, approximately, hang on a cross, crucified for our sins, resurrected from the dead on 3 days later, and become and who is the King of Kings and the Great I Am. That is a God, a Father who loves His creation, loves His people, that sends His, because we got to go back to John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall what? Shall not die, shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Man, that's the beauty of the Christmas story, is that the greatest gift that can ever be given is that you get to receive, because you simply are asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior of your life, and when He becomes Lord, you serve and ask and be a part of bringing other people to know Jesus. Man, what a great Christmas story this could actually be with your own family during Christmas season. Sitting down with another person and sharing the gospel about what Jesus has done in your life and introducing them to Jesus. What a present, the gift of salvation for a person's life. I don't know about you folks, that just lights me up. I love that. I love the God. I love talking about the Christmas story. It never gets old. And I hope it doesn't for you this morning as we look at Advent season. You know, next week we're going to talk about the wise men, about the part that they played in the Christmas story at Advent, which is actually going to literally be Christmas Eve morning. But I tell you what, folks, I encourage you during this Christmas season. I've heard multiple people say, it feels the farthest from Christmas to me. I understand. But see, this is what I want you to understand. Christmas isn't about a feeling. Christmas is about knowing. Knowing in your heart. That is Christmas. Feelings come and go. It doesn't matter. But what you know is what holds on to forever. And I hope this morning, as you sit here and you listen to me this morning, if you don't get anything about anything, remember this, that knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior will change everything about your life. And that being said, will be the greatest gift of your life. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the time and the opportunity to speak and to share your story of your birth. Lord, it's the gospel message. When we're thankful and we praise you for coming to our world broken, coming to die. But Lord, we want to remember. We want to remember is the amazing virgin birth of Mary, and also too the stepfather of Joseph, who loved Jesus as his own son and took him and raised him and helped him become the man he was, part of that. And Lord, I pray that today maybe somebody has never asked you to be Lord of their life, asked them to be your Savior. I pray today that they would ask you to be their Savior, that would be the greatest present they could ever receive. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the gift. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you most of all for your love for us. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Folks, what a great Sunday, Advent season. Merry Christmas. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.